Hi, I'm Wendy Francis, nutrition therapist, emotional eating expert, and entrepreneur. I've helped countless people overcome their obsession with food and weight. Isn't it time you overcame what you had become and ignite who you were meant to be? Your time to become an overcomer starts now. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Overcoming Your Emotional Eating. In today's episode, I'm actually talking about the psychology of losing weight, the psychology in your mind that you need to have or things that you need to have in order to change your body. I actually wrote a short ebook that you can find for free on my website at www.wendyfrancis.com. But in this episode, we tackle some of the big issues around creating a positive psychology while you're changing your body. Take a listen and keep on overcoming. Tonight, I wanted to bring you some things I've been thinking about and actually wrote a little ebook for a new website, the www.wendyfrancis.com that we have created in the last, I guess, year or so. We've revamped and kind of updated that just recently. And on that, we have a free download of an ebook called The Psychology of Weight Loss. And why I put that ebook together, I put it kind of together from some excerpts and clips from other things that I've written or done, is because there is a psychology to changing your body. There is a psychology to losing weight. And I absolutely feel passionate about the fact that we don't do the psychology of weight loss right here in America. I don't know what weight loss is like in other countries because I haven't lived in other countries. But I know here in America, it's rare that we talk about the psychological components of weight loss. Whether or not you have an emotional eating issue or emotions in your food or any kind of disordered eating patterns, even if you're just losing weight, there is a psychology behind it. We don't just hop into change. And it's interesting, you know, when we make changes in our life, if it's a small change, like buying a new pair of jeans, to maybe bigger purchases like cars or houses, that we don't necessarily talk about the psychology of change when it comes to those things, but we need to. I mean, all things that we change, and maybe not buying a new pair of jeans necessarily, but if you've lost a lot of weight, and you're getting into new jeans that you haven't worn in 10 years, is there something psychological going on at that moment in time? Absolutely. And when we don't talk about those things, they go unhidden. And they can either propel you into doing better, or they can pull you back to where you were. I want to talk about some of that psychology tonight because I absolutely feel like it's imperative, and it's going to be a lead in to what I'm going to talk about next week, but you'll have to wait and see about that. Ophelia in Hamlet said, "We know what we are, but not what we may be," which is very true when it comes to changing your body. So many people are focused on where they are, and they don't necessarily know exactly how it's going to feel to be in a different body. In weight loss, we know that the body's changing. And the truth is, there is always, 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 always a psychology of change. In fact, there are now magnanimous amounts written on the psychology of change. And one of my mentors said the psychology is 80% of what we do in change. It's not about the action. The action is only 20%. It's a psychology that actually is overriding, that dictates and determines where we go, which is pretty magnanimous when you think about that statistic. So many people just think it's about doing something different, but really it is about thinking, being, and believing something different. We have to connect to something different, right? When we are in a moment of change, or moments, weeks or months of change, we know that there's a different psychology to that. We know that we'll have to change maybe what we eat or how we eat or maybe why we eat. But we also must connect into the why we want to change. I've done many talks on the why, from podcasts to individual speaking engagements to groups to one-on-one sessions, because it really is our why that gets us through. And so I absolutely find that people have a why for weight loss, for whatever it is for them. They have a why. You know, you'll ask people, so why do you want to lose weight? And in it, you know, it, you'll get it right then, like right on the tip of their tongue, they'll come out with something. The reality is I have worked in this long enough to recognize that that initial is not the real. And that's the truth, because the initial of what comes out of the majority of people's mouths is something like, I just want to be healthy. Or my doctor told me I needed to do it to be healthy. Or I want to look different for my husband. Or I want to look like I used to look. Now, those are all reasons, and I get it. They could be what I call surface wise. But the truth is, if you don't connect into a deeper why, it's really difficult to make the change. Because losing weight is harder than most people recognize, especially when you've had a number of instances of losing and gaining and losing and gaining and losing and gaining. Or maybe you do have an emotional connection to food that you have to shift or change, and it's underneath everything and you've never identified it. And you've got to change your psychology so that you in fact can change to distance from the emotional connection to food. There's all sorts of things that can go into that why. And that change, the ability to change, is really about making that deeper connection to your why. All the hard things that we do in life need a why. Okay, even today, this sounds silly, but it's true. I'll tell you a true story. So today, for some reason, it's a Monday. I've been in my pajamas all day. It's not to say that I haven't worked and I haven't cut down bushes outside and I haven't, you know, done everything that I need to do for my businesses and done everything I need to do for my kids. But I will tell you that I had to go grocery shopping today. And usually I don't mind grocery shopping, but today, for some reason, didn't feel it. I just didn't feel like doing it. It did not. And I got all the bags home and I put them on the floor and I looked at them all on the floor and I thought, I have no desire at all to put these up. Now I know I'm talking a little bit about what I call first world problems because I'm blessed enough to have money to buy food and I totally understand that, but I had hit a wall. I'd hit a moment of exhaustion and I just didn't want to do anymore. And I turned around and I looked at my three kiddos that were all, of course, doing various and sundry things in summer mode, which might be nothing of productive to you or I, but apparently is to them in the moment. And I recognized that I needed to put that food away because they needed food for the week. And so what did I do? I mustered up the energy. They were my why. They were my core why for going grocery shopping, because if I were solo, I could have gotten away with the food that I had here. But they were my why. And so in that exhaustion, in that moment where I really just felt like sitting down on the floor and taking a nap, I didn't. I pushed through. Now, I know I'm talking about something that might be small, but it's true. In those moments where we just want to ease up, take our foot off the pedal, lay down and take a nap, not eat what we're supposed to, not do what we need to do for our body to be healthful, it would be better to turn our back on it and just kick our feet up. But if you don't have that core why, you won't push through. You've got to come to that. When we talk about the psychology of weight loss, you've got to talk about the why. Because without that, there is no change. Any kind of change in an action momentum has to have a really good why attached to it. And it has to be something that moves you in the moment. Like when I turned and I saw my kids, one on their phone, one on a video game, the other one talking on their phone, although they were being typical teenagers, the reality is it moved me into action, recognizing that they needed that food that was on the floor to be put up. And I did, of course, ask for help. But they needed that for the week, right? So that moved me in a moment of exhaustion. If you don't have a why that moves you in the moment when you're ready to give up, it's not a core why. You've got to have that why that you, in the moment, say, that's it, I can do this. I can do this. And as Glennon Doyle says in Untamed, we can do hard things. And as I'll say, with a good why, right? When we talk about the psychology of weight loss or the psychology of change, which is what I believe weight loss is all about, because there's so much change that has to occur in order for us to change our bodies, we can't go without talking about beliefs. I am a huge believer in beliefs, if we want to say it like that, right? Because the truth is, beliefs are really the unconscious GPS system of our lives. It's what controls and determines the way that we go in moments we don't even know about. Beliefs about food, weight, our body, their body, the food in their body, the food in our body, how they eat, how they exercise, how we exercise. What do we believe about all of those things? What are beliefs and how do you understand yours? We know that beliefs are the things that we have in our mind that we believe to be true about us. Whether it be a core identity or a subsidiary identity, whether it be something that we do or say or think or feel or act, who we are in the world is based on beliefs. And what we believe about how we should eat or shouldn't eat, what we should weigh or shouldn't weigh, what our body should look like or shouldn't look like, all those beliefs, when you have a should in there, is dictated and determined by external world. And I find that people can ping pong around that for their entire lives. Understanding truly what your beliefs are and what you actually believe about those beliefs is imperative. It's imperative for all change. I love beliefs so much, I wrote a book called Shattering the Belief Code, because I absolutely saw, when I learned about beliefs years and years ago, I saw how beliefs had changed my life. And ever since then, I've also seen how they've changed my clients' lives, for good or for bad. One thing I know, though, is when we understand our beliefs, when we know what they are, and then we can make a choice around them, there is such a feeling of freedom and empowerment. It's astounding. In fact, you can be in a spiral of negativity, right? Whether it's depression or being upset or being angry or being fearful, you can be in a spiral. And if you catch the belief that's driving that spiral emotionally, and you can decide in the moment whether you want to keep it or not, whether it's real or not, is it really true? Well, then you can change that spiral. If you change what you believe in the moment, you can come out of things completely differently, both in that moment and in your life in general. Because what we know is thoughts plus beliefs equals behavior or action in eating and or in life in general. So when we talk about the psychology of weight loss, we've got to really recognize beliefs. And third, when we talk about the psychology of weight loss, we have to talk about hunger. I know last week I talked a lot about hunger and fullness, so I'm not going to dive into this, although I could probably do hours and hours on this topic because it's such a core issue for many of us. When are we hungry? What does it feel like? Are we really hungry in our body, or are we hungry in different parts of our being? For example, there's body hunger, right? We know that we feel that underneath our rib cage in our stomach area. However, when we talk about the psychology of weight loss, we need to talk about the psychology of hunger, because there really are different facets of hunger that we overlook that are more psychologically based. We obviously, and I've obviously talked a lot about the emotional aspect of hunger. But did you know that there's actually teeth hunger? There is. We can feel like we want to chew on something. That can be true. We feel like we just want to gnaw. And I've heard this from clients time and time again. I feel like I just want to gnaw on something, or I just want my jaw to go up and down, or I'm clenching my teeth and I just want to grind on something in my mouth. Well, the truth is, that's what I call teeth hunger, and it's a psychological aspect of hunger. Some people really hold their stress in their teeth and they need to chew to release it. Other people have mouth hunger. Mouth hunger is where you have this desire to have an intense taste on your palate, on your tongue. So there needs to be something in these individuals' mouths to feel better, to feel different. And that mouth hunger is a psychological aspect of eating, just like mind hunger is, right? So mind hunger could be when we are just really thinking about a food and we want to eat it. So thinking about it could have been a restaurant experience, could have been something you made at home, but we might look at that as mind hunger if it's not attached to an emotional connection, although it could be. And then it might move more into emotional eating. But we also know from a psychological aspect, we have body hunger. So that could be when we feel certain emotions in our body and need to quell that emotion. That can absolutely happen, right? If we're feeling stress or anxious and we're feeling butterflies in our stomach, and in that it transitions up to our mind that we're actually hungry and then we feed that, well, that is body hunger. And there's a psychological aspect to that. So we can't not look at the psychology of weight loss, the different aspects of hunger, the different aspects of beliefs, and the different aspects of core why. I actually expand upon these topics in that free ebook that we have on www.wendyfrancis.com to give you a little bit more insight into each of those premises and some Q&As that I've had with clients in the past around different aspects that reside in the psychology of weight loss. But if you don't know what your psychology is, you can't get through 80% of the change, which is astounding. It is, in fact, what we need in order to find the way to get to where we belong. We also know that knowing the change and doing the change are really only separated by the action, but we need the psychology to do it.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, share it with a friend. Rate, review, and subscribe. You never know who you'll help become the next overcomer.